Imagine sitting in a dimly lit bar in Amsterdam's red light district, approached by a stranger who seems to know you better than you know yourself. This is Jean-Baptiste Clemence, a fallen man who has appointed himself judge of all humanity, including you. The fall is a confession that becomes an indictment, delivered in a hypnotic monologue that pulls you deeper into complicity with each passing page. Through Clemence's voice, Camus explores our shared capacity for moral hypocrisy, the fragility of our self-image, and the universal human tendency to judge others while absolving ourselves. What begins as one man's confession gradually transforms into a mirror reflecting our own moral compromises and self-deceptions. As Clemence will make painfully clear, we are all performing virtue while harboring selfishness, and the moment we realize this truth constitutes our own personal fall from grace. Amsterdam's concentric canals form the perfect backdrop for Clemence's confession, circles of hell where he has established his personal purgatory. These waterways mirror both Dante's conception of hell and Clemence's spiraling descent into self-awareness. He now holds court in a seedy bar called Mexico City, where boundaries between virtue and vice blur. Society is designed to kill slowly, Clemence explains, like Brazilian fish that devour swimmers bite by bite. His residence in the Jewish quarter, cleared by Hitlerite brethren with methodical patience, stands as a monument to humanity's capacity for organized evil disguised as efficiency. What makes his narrative so disquieting is how he draws us in as accomplices. "You're cultured, middle class, and find me entertaining," he tells his listener, establishing complicity through shared social status. By the end, he will have convinced us that we share his guilt, that we all do. Before his fall, Clemence embodied moral superiority, a successful Paris lawyer defending noble causes with theatrical righteousness. His physical appearance complemented this persona, allowing him to strike noble poses naturally, giving him remarkable confidence. Clemence enjoyed performing good deeds, guiding blind men across streets, offering lights to strangers, and helping with heavy loads. Most revealing was his reaction to beggars. He rejoiced at their appearance, seeing them as opportunities for virtuous performance rather than humans in need. "I preferred heights in all things," he confesses, "buses over metros, balconies over mezzanines, mountains over caves." This preference was both physical and metaphorical. He loathed the subterranean, believing meditation belonged in high places where one could soar. His profession satisfied this desire for elevation, allowing him to live above judgment, like a god descending occasionally to give meaning to legal proceedings. Clemence's transformation began one November night crossing the Pont Royal in Paris. Walking alone after midnight, he passed a young woman leaning over the bridge's parapet. 50 meters later, he heard a body hitting water, followed by a cry repeating several times before silence fell. Despite knowing you should act, he remained frozen, rationalizing his inaction with excuses that it was too late, too far away. The scene's power lies in its ordinariness, no dramatic villain, just a man choosing inaction over action. Comfort over courage. The woman's unknown fate becomes both specific and universal, her cry transforming into the central metaphor for Clemence's moral awakening. This incident forces him to confront the gap between his self-image and reality. The man who defined himself by helping others couldn't attempt to save a drowning woman. This revelation devastates him by exposing his true character, someone who, when truly tested, chooses self-preservation over self-sacrifice. Years later, spotting something resembling a drowned person from a cruise ship, the memory returns. He realizes the shout he'd heard that night had never ceased, carried by the river to the waters of the channel to travel throughout the world. After the bridge incident, Clemence begins seeing his virtues in a harsh light. His generosity was never about others, but about remaining master of my generosity. His charitable acts were merely performances, reinforcing his superiority. A revealing incident occurred when a motorcyclist, after being politely asked to move at a traffic light, rudely told Clemens to get stuffed. Their exchange escalated until the man struck him and fled, calling him pathetic. This humiliation exposed how his civility masked a deeper arrogance and need for dominance. I discovered that I sided with the guilty only when their crimes didn't affect me personally, he admits. When threatened, he became not just a judge, but an angry master, wanting to punish wrongdoers regardless of law. His relationships with women undergo similar scrutiny. Despite his success with them, he never truly loved any individual woman. His emotional impulses always turned inward. The only great love in my life was for myself. When faced with abandonment, he was motivated not by tenderness, but by the desire to be loved. Clemens's solution to his existential crisis is becoming a judge penitent, a role he invented that allows him to judge others while acknowledging his own guilt. His method uses public confession as a strategic tool where self-accusation becomes a gateway to exposing others' failings. He skillfully shifts from "this is what I am" to "this is what we are," revealing uncomfortable truths about human nature. His confessions function as a moral trap, drawing others into complicity. "My superiority," he explains, "lies in knowing this, giving me the right to speak. The more I accuse myself, the more I can judge you." By confessing first, he establishes moral authority. "Agree, and you acknowledge similar flaws. Disagree, and you deny obvious truths about human nature." This strategy allows him to indulge in everything while periodically declaring his unworthiness, a performance that paradoxically reinforces his moral authority. As snow falls over Amsterdam in the novel's closing scene, Clemens reaches the culmination of his confession. The huge flakes appear as doves fluttering against all windows. He wonders if they bring good news. Everyone saved, not just the elect, but immediately dismisses the possibility. In these final moments, he reveals his deepest desire: to be arrested for stealing the painting The Just Judges, not for his moral failures. "If you arrested me," he tells his listener, "perhaps they'd handle the rest, guillotine me, saving me from fear of death. You could lift my severed head for all to recognize themselves in it." His final words reveal both despair and relief. "Say the words echoing through my nights, 'Young woman, throw yourself in again so I might save us both. A second chance would be rash, but don't worry, it's too late now. It will always be too late, thank goodness." This ambiguous ending encapsulates the novel's central tension. Clemens longs for redemption while rejecting its possibility. The snow, a fleeting purity before tomorrow's mud, mirrors this contradiction. The fall implicates not just its narrator, but all of us. Clemens's confession becomes our own, forcing us to confront how we all judge while deserving judgment ourselves. The novel challenges us to recognize our duplicity and perhaps, unlike Clemens, find a path beyond it.